Go to the book of Proverbs tonight for our study. Proverbs 23, verse 6 through verse 8, where Brother Rick read earlier. I want to read that again and see the context of that. This passage is familiar to you, perhaps. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We often use as a modern-day proverb, so it should be familiar to you, to your mind at least. But sometimes we make mention of that and do not recognize and realize where it comes from in the context. So in Proverbs 23 and in verse 6, Proverbs 23 and in verse 6, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. Why? Well, in the context, he's a miser. He's a greedy and covetous man. Though he might extend the favor and hospitality to you to partake of a common meal with him, his mind is not on the things associated with generous hospitality. No, his mind is on the food you're consuming, because he's a miser and greedy and covetous man. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the miser under consideration. Eat and drink, he says. Yes, he goes through the process of extending hospitality and speaking smooth and pleasant words to you, but his heart is not truly with you. His heart, his mind is upon the food you're consuming that cost him and his time. The morsel you have eaten you will vomit up. Why? Because if you knew what he was truly thinking, it would make you sick at your stomach. You've just wasted the pleasant words that you have extended to him. That is, the compliments and thankfulness you've extended to him. It's a waste. He's not concerned with that. He is greedy. He is a miser. He is a covetous man. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. In time, the heart is revealed by our words and our deeds. Maybe in this life, it may be in the life to come. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. The heart can deceive us and mislead us in sinful ways. The heart in our context under consideration, of course, is the mind of man. That is, as a man thinks in his heart, as one thinks in his mind, as he ruminates and ponders about the thoughts that come through his mind, so is he. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. What you're thinking becomes who you are. Are you a child of God or a child of devil? What you think determines who you are. As one thinks in his heart, so is he. Are you a child of the devil or the child of God? There's no in between. One is either one or the other. John 8 in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We are the children of the devil or the children of God. And our actions and deeds that flow from our heart, flow from our mind, will prove that to be true either in this life or in the life to come. 1 John 3 and in verse 6 we read from this morning. Whoever abides in him, that is in Christ, does not sin. That is, he does not go on committing sin, does not go on practicing sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Where did that righteousness come from? From your thinking, from your mind? You made a choice to do that which was right. And thus, thinking to do right, you did right. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever's been born of God does not sin, that is, does not go on practicing sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot go on living and practicing sin, because he has been born of God. One either belongs to God or he belongs to the devil. He's a child of God or he's a child of the devil. There's no in between. And our heart determines that. Our man determines that. It determines our actions and our deeds in this life. I want to look at this phrase with you tonight. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We decide what kind of person we will be based upon the thoughts that we have. The thoughts that we have will determine what kind of person we will be. So what are you thinking? We're simply what we think. We are what we think. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 14, or Psalm 19 verse 14, the psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." Meditation of my heart is the thinking, the pondering of my mind. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why would the psalmist ask that the meditation or ponderings of his mind be acceptable to God? Because from our thoughts come our actions, become our deeds. Proverbs 3 and in verse 1, a wise man said, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, in your mind. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and lean not on your own understanding." Remember what Jeremiah said, our heart is deceitful above all things. Our mind will lead us astray. Our mind will lead us in the wrong direction because we are what we think. Remember, God created us upright, as we noted this morning, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. "Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright. He made him just. He made him righteous in his sight." He created us without sin. That's evident in Matthew 18 and verse 3 and following, when Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless one is converted, become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God." How are little children? They're without sin. That's the point Jesus is making. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We have to become like little children, innocent, upright and just in the sight of God, free from sin. God created us upright and without sin. We simply become sinners as we're drawn away by our lust. We noted this morning in James 1 and verse 14 and the following. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away, know this, by his own desires, better by his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So you are what you think. So what are you thinking? What goes into our mind is what comes out of our mind, and again, in our actions and deeds. I might ask, what are you reading? Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. That is, there ought to be an abundant measure of the word in your life. So how does the word get into your life? By hearing it and by reading it. So remember, we are what we think. What are you reading? Some people read that puts evil thoughts in their mind. Some people read that which put wicked and immoral thoughts in their mind. And so you are what you think. If you put wicked, evil, and immoral thoughts in your mind, eventually those thoughts are going to come out in your actions and in your deeds. What goes in your mind is going to come out of your mind. Note what Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Why? Because what you read determines your actions. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, "Meditate on these things, think about these things, ponder on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, that your spiritual progress might be evident to all." You are what you think. So what are you reading? Think about that. We are what we think. What are we watching? Think about that. What are we watching? Are we watching things that put sinful ideas in our mind? Are we using the internet to think we're hiding from others as we watch pornography on the internet? So prevalent in our society today. You see many people going down the road, they've got the cell phone in their hand, and you think they're texting. They're actually watching pornography. Now some have become so bold in regard to it, they even put it on the video screens, openly displayed in their automobiles for others passing by to see. It's shameful indeed. So what are we watching? Remember, what goes in our mind is eventually going to come out of our mind and our actions and our deeds. Something to watch, mentioned in John 4 and verse 35. "Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest." That's what we ought to be looking at. The souls of man to be saved. The souls of man to be harvested. Jesus said in Matthew 9 in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." What are we watching? What are we looking at? We're looking at the souls of men who need to be saved. Are we looking at something that puts evil and wicked and immoral thoughts into our mind? TV is something that a lot of people spend a lot of time in front of. And it's a form of entertainment. And sometimes it can be good entertainment. But sometimes the movies we watch should not be considered entertainment, because the movies themselves are predicated on sin and violence and hedonism and all kinds of immorality. And we dare call that entertainment, because we're feeding our mind with that. What we think is what we will be eventually in our actions. What are we thinking about? What are we meditating upon? Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble or honorable or upright, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, ponder, ruminate on these things." Why? Because those things fill your mind with things that will produce righteous conduct. Righteous action, righteous deeds. It's simply no mystery that we live what we think. We see that bore out so much sometimes in young people's lives. A young child is told as he is growing up, "Well, you're just a bum. You'll never amount to anything. You're just a dummy." And guess what they think? They go around thinking they're a dummy. They go around thinking they're going to be a bum. And the mother or father says, you'll probably end up in jail. And guess where the child will probably end up? In jail, because that's what he's been thinking all of his life. That's what he's been told all of his life. Because as one thinks, so is he. When we think that way, that's the way we'll become. That's the way we'll live. It's just a fact of the matter. As he thinks, so we decide what kind of person we'll be. As he thinks in his heart, our heart, my friends, is the fountainhead of all of our consciousness, our character, and all of our conduct, actions, and deeds. It is the fountainhead. It is the original source from which everything in our life comes. You're simply defined by what is inside you. You're defined by what is in your heart, that is, what is in your mind. You're either a good man, that is, a righteous man, upright person, or you're wicked or evil, because your heart determines that for you. Luke 6 and in verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, agathos, upright, virtuous, honorable in the sight of God, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. A good treasure of his heart, good. Same word. Good treasure means a treasure that is beneficent, beneficial, advantageous, and profitable to others. That's what a treasure ought to be. It's profitable. It's beneficial. It's advantageous. It's benevolent. Out of a benevolent heart, you pour forth treasure in other people's life. Your heart determines whether you're a good man or whether you're an evil man. Defilement comes from within us. Defilement, that is, the sinful condition that we sometimes find ourselves in, that's where it came from originally. It didn't come from the outside, it came from the inside of us. Mark 7 and verse 14, Jesus said, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That is, let him obey this. It's that which comes from inside you that defiles you. It's that which comes from inside you that makes you unclean in the sight of God, causes you to be a sinner. Where does it come from? It originated in your fountainhead, that is, in your mind. Mark 7 and verse 20, he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the mind of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. Sin simply comes from our evil desires. Comes from the lust of our heart. That's what. Ephesians 2 and verse 3, we noted this morning. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, note this, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, fulfilling the desires of the body and of the mind. It comes from our mind. And we carry it out in our actions and our deeds. As a matter of fact, the vain, darkened, alienated, ignorant, blindness of our heart produces the sinful living that we often engage in. Ephesians 4 and in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or vanity of their mind, emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They're in ignorance. Being alienated, separated from the life of God, cut off from the life that God wants to grant them. because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The word blindness here would have been better translated hardness of their heart. It is a heart or man that is no longer sensitive to the Word of God. The blindness of their heart, or the hardness of their heart, their stubbornness, their rebellion, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness or licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So this vain, empty, darkened man, a man filled with ignorance, a heart and man that is stubborn and rebellious toward godly living, is that which is unacceptable in the sight of God. We need to undergo a change in our heart, a change in our mind. The scriptures speak of a renewing of our man, which is kind of like a renovating of our mind, or making it new, cleaning it out and making it new. Ephesians 4 and in verse 20 and following, Paul said, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Know this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We can renew our mind. We can get rid of all of that garbage that is in our mind. All the immorality, all the wickedness, and all the evil perhaps that we put in there from time to time. Get rid of it. Clean out your mind. Renovate it so you can think anew. You can think upon things which will be pleasing and acceptable to God. Paul said it this way in chapter 12 of the book of Romans to the saints at Rome, when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That you present your bodies. Bodies here is put for the whole person. Present yourself. That is, you're offering yourself up as a sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Note this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get rid of those ungodly thoughts. That's going to lead you in the wrong direction. Renew your thinking. Sometimes we simply need a change of attitude or disposition of heart in regard to that. That's mentioned in the phrase that we just looked at in Ephesians 4 and in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your man. Here the spirit has reference to one's attitude and disposition of man. Be renewed in the attitude and disposition of your man. I know we, sometimes in the past, have heard about someone saying, "Well, that child just needs an attitude adjustment." We know what that means. They need to be corrected. If necessary, perhaps some form of punishment might be exercised to bring about a change in attitude or change in disposition. Well, we as children of God need some time to have an attitude adjustment as well. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, in the attitude and disposition of our mind. Because if we're not, and if we do not have an attitude or disposition of man that is right and acceptable in the sight of God, we will not live acceptably before Him. We will not be accepted before Him. One who renews his man changes his life. He lives differently than he lived before. If he was engaging in sin or supporting sin in some way, he has a change of mind in regard to it, a change of heart in regard to it. He no longer lives that way any longer. A good example of that is found in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Remember, Paul had written them in the first epistle about them associating with one who had his father's wife. Instead of mourning the spiritual demise of that man, they were rather puffed up in regard to his behavior. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, Paul said, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner." What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what vehement desire. What zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this manner. I would suggest to you they had a renewing of their mind. They changed their minds about what they had accepted in their fellowship. And they corrected themselves in the sight of God. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is defined by what is in your heart. You are what you think. Let's make some application to this before we run out of time. So is he. Your life is defined by what is in your heart. What you think defines the person you are. Think about yourself, and guess what? You become a selfish person. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, lovers of themselves." Think about self and you become selfish. If one thinks about himself all the time, that's the only thing he's going to be, is selfish in the end. But think about others, and what do you become? You become a caring person. You become a giving person. You become a benevolent person. Romans 12 and verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality." But if you're always thinking of self, you simply become a greedy, selfish person. But if you think of others, you become a caring, loving, and benevolent person. You see, what we think is what we are. Another example. You think about money, and you become like the miser in our text. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. You become like the greedy person. You become like the covetous person. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So you think about being rich, you think about money, and you simply become a greedy, covetous person. But if you think about thankfulness to God for perhaps the little bit that you have, you become a contented and satisfied person. That's what you become. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 6. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content." Do we see how this works? What you think upon, what you dwell upon, what you meditate about, what you ponder, what you hear, what you see, what goes into you is going to come out of you. Another example, if you think about immoral sex, you become what? An immoral, lustful person. Matthew 5 and in verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her." Where? In his heart. Now he hasn't literally carried out the act of adultery, but he has in his mind. He's just waiting for the opportunity. So when you think about immoral sex, you become a lustful person. But if you think about moral purity, you become pure in heart. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 18, "Flee sexual immorality." In Matthew 5 and in verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So if you think about immoral and impure faults, you're going to be immoral and unclean, defiled in the sight of God. Because those impure and immoral faults are going to come out in action sooner or later. We are what we think. One more example and the lesson will be yours. Think about being praised by men for your religious life. Think about that. For your religious life, think about being praised by men, and what do you become? If in your religious life you're living to be praised by men, you become a hypocrite. That's what you'll become. Matthew 6 and in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in your religious life, if you're living in such a way as simply to be praised of men, you'll become a hypocrite. If that's what you think of, that's what you will become. But think about the praise of God. Think about living your life not to receive the praise of men, but to receive the praise of God and to become humble and a genuine servant of God. What will you become? You'll become just that. That's what you'll become. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if you think about the praise of men in your religious life, if you're living in order to receive the praise of men and the esteem of men, you're going to become a hypocrite. But if you're living a life that is righteous and upright in the sight of God, to be praised by God and not by men, you'll become a true servant of God. So I ask, what kind of person are you? What does the Lord see in you when He sees you? As He thinks in His heart, so is He. You know, no one can read our heart, no one can read our mind, save God. Acts 1 and verse 24, the disciples praying as they were trying to choose one to replace Judas in the apostleship that had been granted to them by the Lord, said in Acts 1 and verse 24, as they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. That is, read the mind of these two that we have put forth. You know their minds, you know their hearts. You know what's contained therein." Yes, what's in our mind may not be shown and displayed openly in our life at times. But as we said at the beginning, it's either going to be manifested, evidenced, and lived out in our life in this life, or we will face it in the judgment. One way or the other, it's coming out because God knows. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That's your choice. What you think is your choice, but you just remember, what you think upon is what you become. As you think in your heart, so are you. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.